There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we have a request. If you are genuinely enjoying what we do here on the show, then please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast app. It really helps us to grow the podcast and ensures that we bring you great marketing tips and advice each week. Now, today I'm joined by Dave Chaffee, co-CEO at Smart Insights. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Andy.
And for those of you who avidly follow this show, you may remember that we last spoke to Dave on the show. I think it went out September the 10th, 2015. So almost 2 years to the day. In fact, it's 2 years and 5 days that we're recording this. It probably won't go out for a few weeks yet, but we're recording it about 2 years after. Do you remember that, Dave?
I do, yes. I think we were looking at marketing strategy or digital strategy as the main thing. And it would be good to look at what's new since then today.
And that's what we'll be
thanks
doing.
Thanks for asking me back.
Absolute pleasure. So we're going to be covering getting the old crystal ball out today, aren't we? And looking forward to the marketing trends in 2018. It was actually funny because we were just talking before we hit record, weren't we? And we're recording this on the 15th of September. And over a month ago, I actually heard somebody mention the C word for the first time.
Scary.
The Christmas word. The Christmas, when I say C word. But yes. Anyway, before we do that, just remind our listeners about you, about Smart Insights. What do you do?
Sure. So some listeners may know that may know me as a writer. So I'm author of books like Digital Marketing Excellence and Digital Business and E-commerce Management. So these are big, meaty textbooks that are used around the world, but by professionals as well, doing marketing qualifications. I wrote the first one actually in 97. So I've been following the trends in marketing way since way back. Mm. And just in the last 5 years or so, we launched Smart Insights. So the books are only updated every 3 years or so, and a lot happens in between. So I wanted to find a way to keep myself up to date and just share what I was finding through consulting and training, what really matters to businesses and the marketers in businesses to drive growth from these new techniques we're going to talk about.
So you're ideally placed, really, because you've got this kind of, I like to call it a sort of a 50,000 foot view of everything, which is sometimes nice, isn't it, to get up to the altitude and get a sort of the bigger picture of things. What do you see as, I know it's a very sweeping question, but what do you see as some of the biggest trends in digital marketing techniques for sort of, perhaps looking back to 2017, but also looking forward into 2018?
Yes, it's always interesting to think what's new when you've been looking at it for so many years, because some of the main channels we use, they're constant. So with that 50,000 foot view, as you said, it doesn't actually change that much. It's when you go into the details, it's interesting. And just thinking back since, you know, the mid-90s, if we went back that far, search was so important in the beginning, organic. Then we had paid search and AdWords coming in, then social media, then mobile, moved to mobile responsive, people looking at conversion rate optimization or Crow, and then marketing automation. So what I would say is that all of those sort of mega trends, if you could call them, we've seen over the last 15 or 20 years, even that's really all stabilized now. So the challenge is looking at what are the new details within those channels, and that's what we can look at in a moment. But to give you an idea of where to focus and perhaps the biggest trends, we always ask around this time of year. Actually, we start in September up till Christmas, so we look at the trends in the year ahead, and we ask our audience, what's the single technique that you're excited about in the year ahead, which will give you the biggest increment, so the biggest growth in leads or sales via the online channel. So not necessarily what's the biggest driver, but what's going to give you the biggest uplift. And we're just writing a post on this at the moment, but I thought I dug out what we said a year ago, and we could look at what's different. And the big three were actually content marketing, big data, and marketing automation through email in the main, and followed up by mobile and social media. So if you're looking for that, was it 50,000 feet or meters view?
I think I said feet, but it could be meters. Could be 50,000 kilometers.
Metric, shouldn't we? Yeah, so I think content marketers have been really excited about this, as I have over the last two or three years, because it's a great way to integrate all of the different channels that we have now and get them working together as one. And when we research what the challenges and pain points of marketers are, this integration of all the many channels we've got at our disposal is the biggest challenge. So my view is that most businesses can really benefit from a content marketing strategy and look at how they map content across the customer journey, whether that's the website and mobile, but also email, social media, and search as well.
It's quite interesting, actually, because you've got this quite nice graph, because you mentioned just verbally the top three were, and we'll come on to the other two in a minute. Uh-huh. So you've got content marketing, it's at 20.3%. I was really surprised to see that big data, which is the second one, really massive at 20.2%. Tell us a bit about
right.
That.
Yeah, I was surprised as well, because I think it's one of those Emperor's New Clothes labels brought in by the vendors. I think it was IBM here to help sell their consulting services and their new tech. And I think IBM have done a fantastic job with Watson, their AI tool, sort of building up the hype around that. I think the reason it was 20% is the full question actually, it said big data and using analytics for marketing. So I think marketers know the value of mining into their Google Analytics or their email social listening results and getting the value from them.
Yes.
So I'd say it's probably small data that would explain why it's that large.
Yeah, maybe they focus on the analytics bit rather than the big data bit.
Yeah, that's right. For me, the shocker was actually going further down. If you look at, I've been involved with search marketing and SEO for forever, really, since I started, because it's so important to drive volume for most businesses and quality as well. And it was chosen by just 4% of people. And I think whatever the business, where there's an intent for people to look for your products and services, you're going to be able to grow through SEO if you get it right. And the same with CRO, that was just 6% as well. And I do wonder whether some businesses are following the right trends.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? And then marketing automation. We talked about automation quite a few times. In the show, I mean, 10.3%. That's quite a big sort of jump from the two top ones, and then it's sort of marketing automation, which is interesting as well.
Yeah, that's right. We do quite a bit of research with the marketing automation email vendors, and when we actually look at whether people are using the tools, so things, techniques like welcome sequences or nurture sequence, multiple personalized emails, dynamic content, these sort of techniques, we find most people, to generalize, aren't actually using many of them. They're maybe not segmenting at all, so they're just doing batch and blast, or they've got a small group of, say, three or four core segments. So the thing with MarTech, it's one thing to subscribe to a service. It's really taking advantage of the features for personalization, which is often missed. But I guess that's where people were looking to see the growth from sending more relevant comms.
Now, interestingly, you mentioned that, certainly looking in 2017, things weren't changing massively, but it was more the details. I was just wondering, getting crystal ball out, looking forward into 2018, what do you think is genuinely or going to be genuinely sort of new and innovative in 2018?
Yes, it's often a challenge for me when I look at the trends and what's genuinely new. And I've been quite excited about all the noise and buzz about machine learning and AI. Mm. And I think there's been that hype about it this year, and people are starting to learn about what the options are. I think in 2018 we'll start see people using the techniques more. There's been some early adopters. One of the things we've written about on the Smart Insights blog is like Pizza Express are using Facebook Messenger as a booking engine where you can actually have a chat conversation with the chatbot and book. And it might sound a bit clunky, but it's actually quite cool and works pretty well. That's worth taking a look at. IKEA using something similar with some customer research tools they're using. And then, of course, there's people talk a lot about AI. I think they don't. When you actually look into it as a marketing application, it's machine learning that's important. So using the historical data and then predictive analytics so you can deliver more relevant, more targeted emails. And like I said earlier, many people haven't set those up manually. So if rather than doing them rules-based, you can get the technology to deliver the right message, right time, right person. Yeah. I think that's really quite exciting to see whether the tech vendors can come up with something that's effective.
I know you've got some thoughts on, again, you alluded to this earlier about integrating all the different techniques as well. What do you see happening there, Dave?
Yeah, I think a new way of thinking is really needed to take advantage of all the techniques. We've been writing a lot about customer life cycle and how you map the best types of content through the life cycle. But one trend we are seeing is people have seen videos becoming more and more popular. Video is actually, through YouTube, is the main source of interactions that Google has with its audience now. It's actually overtaken the good old search results page, which shows the importance of video. And of course we've got virtual reality, augmented reality coming in. Then we've got personalization as well on the website. I think it's something that retailers have been doing for years, but other businesses who are perhaps business to business services, they can start to be using the tools now available for giving personalized content recommendations, for example. I think the other thing that's new, which answers a challenge, is although all businesses have got Google Analytics, that it's not so good for understanding individual customer detail and getting this mythical 360-degree view of the customer. So these technologies such as CDPs, customer data platforms, those are going to become more widely used. And we're seeing as well that for some applications, like if you think of retargeting where someone's visited a website and you're serving ads on maybe Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, on Google, remarketing search list ads, all of these different places, you can do that by going to each of those platforms individually, but there's a lot of work involved. But if you use a technology like AdRoll, for example, and some of the other retargeting services, you are able to go to a single place and it will work out, using machine learning, the best place to advertise. Not everyone will want to lose that control, though. That's one of the interesting things with AI. We've looked at AdRoll and we've actually decided we prefer to optimize our ads separately on, say, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google. One other tool I wanted to mention, which is genuinely, you know, brand new. AdRoll's been around a few years now. Mm. Someone on the Smart Insights Facebook group was asking about what is a tool to bring together all this retargeting data in one place so you can really see well how it's working, what's not working. Mm. And there's a new startup actually based in Israel called Rivery.
Yeah.
So that's spelled as in river, as in the water body flowing, with a Y, and then .io.
Yeah.
So that's worth checking out if you've got that challenge of managing all the different data sources from online ads and seeing what's working and what's not.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Now, going to the more to the human side of things and looking maybe the last few months, maybe the last year, I'm just wondering if there are any trends at the moment in the way that marketing is being managed.
Yes, I think that there is quite a big trend, actually. And I'm particularly interested in this at Smart Insights because we look at the human side. So careers, skills and digital transformation, how businesses update their strategy and processes and analytics to compete really in the very competitive marketplace. So one of the things that we've always been interested in is how many people, given the competition, do actually plan and think, how can we get an edge? How should we be measuring these new online channels? Where is our growth going to come from? And what we've seen traditionally is that many people don't have a digital marketing plan. It can be as many as half of businesses. And I think that raises an interesting human or cultural question of why not? Because yeah. I think if you ask most people, is it a good idea to have a plan, a business plan, marketing plan, a plan for digital, they would say yes. But the reality in the real world, where people are firefighting and launching new campaigns, new products, is they don't. So we are seeing we're still seeing people generating those digital plans, but the big trend is looking at digital transformation. And this is perhaps mid or large businesses. But when we researched this, we found that a third of businesses said in the next 12 months they were looking to implement a digital transformation program, which is really, I think, acknowledging that they may have been using digital marketing before, but they weren't taking full advantage of it and they were maybe falling behind compared to competitors. So they're really investing in it. They're putting in place the resources and the plans, the measurement to really as a foundation for the future. Because I think there's around 20% of businesses who already have that in place, but only 10% have had it for the last couple of years. So I think that's what we're seeing there. There's a particular technique that I like for those bigger businesses, and that's introducing a digital marketing or a marketing center of excellence. A COE is the buzzword there. And there's more people looking at that, which I think you need because of all the complexity of digital marketing and measuring it and integrating it. You're always going to need some digital marketing specialists in a business or an agency to just keep on top of the latest changes and to decide how you use them. But I think calling it a digital center of excellence isn't that forward thinking. I think now we should be thinking towards the post-digital world where digital is just part of marketing as a whole.
Yeah.
And it's more looking at the marketing technology, marketing measurement across the board. And that includes online plus offline and multi-channel marketing as well.
So how does that work then, Dave? Is it like the bit of a mouthful, Digital Marketing Center of Excellence, the COE? Is that just like a group of people in the company, like a department, if you like, of sort of expertise, or is it a bit more fluid than that?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it may you will have often a central group, and if it's international, they'll often be in one country, but there might be specialists in other countries as well. So there might be someone in the Netherlands, Germany, US, and so on. But the general idea is that you're training up people in modern marketing rather than digital marketing skills. So in time, I think what businesses have seen is that specialist e-commerce or digital marketing teams have shrunk because they can be silos and there's a problem of integration. So those should shrink away, and the marketing, digital marketing skills should go into the brand and product marketers. But you are always going to need this core group of people in a, let's call it a DMCOE, still a mouthful.
Now, homing in a bit, because I was interested in some specific techniques. What's been happening in, for example, in organic and paid SEO, as an example?
Yes, that's right. As I say, these when you look at the reality, there's a lot of hype about social media still. We're seeing that this week in Social Media Week. But for a retailer, the top three or four channels are usually organic, AdWords, email marketing, for acquisition and converting existing customers, and maybe affiliate partner marketing as well. So getting SEO right and looking at the latest option in AdWords, so things like bid adjustments or the extensions that they've got now to engage with audience in SERPs, remarketing, retargeting, as I mentioned earlier. Those are all important, and Google has been adjusting those. If you look at their page of all the changes in AdWords, that they've made quite a few changes through the year. On SEO, it's interesting. You'll know the Moz. There's like an algorithm history of all the things that changes in terms of the ranking factors and the spam penalties, like Penguin and Panda. And I was just looking at that before the call, actually, to see what's new. So I knew about this algorithm Fred that people were talking about back in March, which was one of the big fluctuations in SERPs that people saw. But actually, since then, Moz hasn't updated that page at all. Whereas in previous years, there'd have been 10, 15 updates. So either someone at Moz has taken their eye off the ball, or there aren't as many changes, sort of top level changes in Google, or certainly ones they're announcing. Maybe it's because Matt Cutts has moved on. So for me, anyway, in SEO, the big change we've seen is in AMP, the mobile, advanced mobile pages. So although we're a B2B service, we implemented AMP at the start of the year, and we've seen a big growth in those pages, which these are the ones where Google doesn't link you through to the site, but they have effectively served a cache version of your pages, because Google's all about speed. So they're effectively serving content from their servers. So, okay. I'd say most publishers are on top of AMP, but perhaps most end businesses aren't. But if your audience is using mobile and you've perhaps got a blog where you're publishing regularly, I think it's definitely one to look at. The other recommendation I'd make about search, and this is something we've seen over the last 1 or 2 years really, is that Google's serving richer content into the search results page. So no longer the links, the blue links and meta descriptions only, but the rich answers. And if anyone doesn't know, I mentioned the Moz algorithm history. There's another tool they've got in what's called the Mozcast, which looks at the features in the SERPs and how important they are.
Yeah.
And that will show you, for I think it's around 10,000 keywords they monitor, different, say, image features and rich answers. Answering people's questions has become more and more important. So if you're not writing your copy, structuring your links in such a way that you're answering those questions, you're really missing out. And of course, this fits in with more and more voice search as well, which is the natural language processing. So there's still, Google are making changes in those areas, and we've seen fluctuations that if you drop from, say, position 1 to 3, it can make quite a big difference. So you have to be on top of the details of those features.
Yeah, it's a huge subject, that is, these rich SERPs.
Yes.
Something I think we should definitely have a look at down the road. If you had one top tip or takeaway for our audience, Dave, what would it be? Or several, indeed.
No, I can give one, or maybe several tools. We like to support marketers in their careers, and of course, keeping up to date is what we try to help our members do at Smart Insights. But yeah, having the right tools to do that, you can subscribe to lots of blogs, but it's really surfacing the ones which are the big trends that are important. So my tip was going to be around tools like Feedly. Some of you may know RSS feeds aren't cool, but yeah, Feedly is cool. What, since Google stopped their reader service, more and more people have used that, and it now automatically shows you the voice of the crowd. So what are the most popular articles and posts rise to the top, so you don't have to spend so much time filtering through them. So I think that's a smart way to learn. The other tool I wanted to mention, our team mentioned this to me earlier in the year because it's brand new. It's a tool called Zest, which is a nice zingy name. If you're looking for it, it's actually zest.is. It's not an Icelandic company, which I believe that is. It's an Israeli startup. And what they do, it's a Chrome extension, which you'll see in a new tab, and it serves all the latest content from the blogs, but it's actually curated for marketers. And again, it uses a sort of voting system to surface the content that's most useful and people need to take action on. So yeah, I think those two tools would be a takeaway to help people prepare into 2018.
Well, Dave, thanks so much for coming on the show. How can our listeners find out more about you, more about Smart Insights?
That's a pleasure, Andy. Thanks for posing the questions. And yes, it's smartinsights.com. What we offer are templates and tools to help people create plans for campaigns or longer term transformation plans. But we also hope to help people in their careers. So I'd say if you're new to Smart Insights, check out our graders and our personalized learning plans. So one of the trends in content marketing, I think, is making it a bit more interactive. And we've tried to follow that trend. So now we've got interactive assessments which recommend the most relevant content for our members. So they're to help people develop in their careers and get that all important new job or pay rise. So I hope those are useful. The other thing I'd say before we close is LinkedIn is probably my preferred network. I do like questions, and that's a good place to follow my updates. So please get in touch through LinkedIn if you do have any questions.
Thanks, Dave, and thanks to our listeners for listening. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. That'd be fantastic. We're always open to questions and suggestions. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.com. You can tweet us @sitevisibility. If you want to continue the conversation, remember we also have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. That's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Dave.
Thanks, Andy, and all the best for 2018, everyone.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.